Hey, friends, welcome back to another edition of the Anne Vermey Show. So glad you were here. Joining me today is Dr. Meehan, and we're going to talk about so many issues. We are going to talk about inflammation. What does that do to the body? How does that make you feel? What can you do to combat inflammation? We're going to also be talking about some things you might not know about medical trials that you need to know, because we always think, oh, this is safe because it's gone through the FDA, but is it really? How are they doing medical trials? We need to know this. So we're talking about this and more. Please like, share, and subscribe far and wide. I'd really appreciate it. If you believe in what I'm doing, please consider becoming an angel investor. The easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com. Click the donate button and donate whatever you feel like you could donate. Or you could be a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theambermayshow.locals.com. and become a $5 monthly subscriber there. That is so helpful. I really appreciate that. Always look in the description below. I have partnered with different companies to help you save money. Like there, we talk about on this episode about, you know, the personal care products and what are they putting that in our body. Well, I just partnered with a company that produces natural cleansers for the face and natural candles that you could be burning without fear of contaminating your home or your health. So check that out. That's Pure Beauty down in the description below, and also on my website. If you go to theambermayshow.com, hit the promo section under the resource tab, and you can find Pure Beauty, where you can get a discount for using my name, Amber May, save up to 15% off, and you can have natural products to clean your face. Well, without any further ado, I have Dr. Meehan joining me right now. I always love having you come on the program. You always give us some really good medical advice. So welcome back to the show. So glad to
Good to be back with you, Amber. It's been a busy time since I saw you last. How have you been doing?
I've been very well, very well. Uh-huh. So I'm excited because you know, there's a lot of things that are happening in our world, but to focus today on our health, like I wanted to ask you, or, you know, we were talking and I said, Dr. Meehan, what are people coming to you with? Cause I'm scoping the computer. I want to know, you know, the computer, the news tells me, okay, people are concerned about X, Y, Z, but you know, nothing was really showing up. And you're telling me people are concerned about cancer that just shows up out of nowhere.
Oh yeah.
And I'm just like, what?
It's crazy. The young people developing cancers, metastatic, advanced, aggressive cancers coming out of nowhere and in a population that were vaccinated. So it's COVID vaccine induced cancers, you know, pathologists, docs are talking about it all over the world. But our mainstream media, our public health is absolutely ignoring the problem. They're trying to bury these bodies, you know, silence the people bringing these issues forward. But I mean, it's like, you know, I was telling you a little bit about the 26-year-old metastatic cancer everywhere, all over her body. She had just delivered a child some 6 months prior. Shortly after delivery, she starts kind of having some bowel problems, some other problems. Long story short, goes into the hospital, finds metastatic melanoma all over her brain, her spinal cord, liver, just everywhere in the body. No primary tumor is yet to be found.
Oh my. I mean,
it just makes no sense. And I had a 66-year-old, very similar story, and it was melanoma again. I don't know why these melanomas are appearing, and it's other cancers, other, you know, that's just happen chance that the patients that I'm seeing, I have four or five others that just in the last 2 months are presenting with these metastatic cancers. But, you know, here's the thing. We started seeing evidence that this was going to be a problem as we started to understand how the COVID-19, these gene therapies were working. One of the problems, you know, there's several problems in terms of cancer that the COVID-19 vaccines, and they're not vaccines, they're gene therapies, are causing. One is its destruction of the innate immune systems. This, we have this system that's a part of our innate immunity, meaning innate is the innate immune system is the immune system that's ready to go when it's never seen a pathogen or an abnormality before. One of the mechanisms in the innate immune system is a system called the toll-like receptor system. The toll-like receptor system is destroyed by the COVID vaccines. It's something to do with that mRNA, that pseudouridyl that's a part of this mRNA payload of the lipid nanoparticle. That is, it shuts down that toll-like receptor system, which is a system that can just kind of sense non-self, something. It could be a virus, could be a bacteria that the body's never seen before, has no way of, you know, no memory of having to deal with and confront that previously. Or it could be a cancer cell. That's the disruption of the toll-like receptor system, the innate immune system's ability to recognize these abnormal cells is one of the things that would be affected by this COVID-19 vaccine. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing, not only are we seeing that, but we're seeing patients that are, you know, boosted and, you know, have gotten 3 to 5 injections of this gene therapy, and they are developing cancers. They're immunosuppressed. They're becoming infected with every pathogen on the planet. They, you know, and what we're going to see more and more of is they're going to, all of these diseases that, you know, respiratory syncytial virus, all kinds of respiratory viruses they're getting, and they're going to start blaming that on the unvaccinated, right? But it's not, the unvaccinated have intact immune systems. They're fine. It's the heavily vaccinated, the loyal, you know, followers of this cult that has been, you know, believing and eating up everything that our public health agencies have been lying to us about. They're the ones that are in real trouble, immunocompromised, getting infected with every pathogen on the planet and developing cancers like we've never seen before.
And it sounds like these are late stage, like the lady you're telling me about with the brain and spinal cord. What is that, like stage 4?
Super aggressive, just exploding. You know, if you had a cancer in remission and you've gotten a booster and +1 or +2, you are, the likelihood that cancer is now out of remission is overwhelming. This has been the biggest mistake in the history of medicine, and the cover up trying to pretend like, you know, all of this stuff that we're seeing in VAERS, the vaccine adverse event reporting system, the resistance of our, you know, CDC and NIH and the rest trying to prevent anybody from getting the VSafe data. You know, that was another database where they were tracking things, the way they have designed all these systems to, you know, the VSafe was designed to find nothing except, you know, the mild common side effects. They just had, it was a check boxes of what you could say. Yeah. I had, you know, shoulder pain, had a fever, lethargy. They won't share the text box where people were typing in, you know, I had a serious seizure, anaphylaxis. You know, the CDC's attempt to prevent us from getting all of this data that they were collecting and the VSafe database is just corrupt. It's beyond the level of corruption. And so, you know, they're just hiding the evidence, covering up the evidence, burying the bodies. You know, we've got healthy young people collapsing on playing fields, you know, walking in the park, and they're just acting like none of this is happening. Meanwhile, you see all of this normalization of myocarditis. Oh, it's just, you know, happens all the time. It's always been there. You know, it's like it's the whole autism and vaccines issue. No, we're just diagnosing it better. No, you're not. You're exploding it with the intervention that you created, and you're corruptly, fraudulently trying to hide the evidence of what's really happening. Myocarditis never had a background rate like this. The CDC's own data said that we were going to increase myocarditis in young people who were statistically zero risk of dying from this virus or even having a serious case from the SARS-CoV-2 virus. But we were going to increase myocarditis based on their own data from anywhere from 20 to 33 times what we were seeing in the background data. That table and their own publication said we should not be vaccinating young children. We shouldn't be forcing 20-year-old college students to get a COVID vaccine and a booster just so they can go to college for a disease that was, you know, a fraction of the severity of the flu. Now, this is just, it's all nonsense. I don't know how we fix it, but man, this election is going to be, 24 election is going to be a determination as to whether this country, you know, just keeps killing. We keep getting murdered by our own, you know, public health interventions, or, you know, we elect somebody that's going to fix this problem. I mean, I'm really encouraged to see Robert F. Kennedy Jr. speaking on, you know, a national level, bringing some of these issues to bear. If you've seen him talking on some of the town halls and the podcasts, the man's the most dangerous man on the planet right now to the people that are trying to kill us, because he's bringing it all out in the open. I love it.
I have his book, actually, the Fauci book. I have that. And I was like so impressed with the stuff that he was putting in his book. And he cited every single source where he got every piece of information that talking about in that book. And you know what? I wish he would run as a vice president for Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. I think that would be the most powerful ticket we would ever have. And it'd be the most uniting ticket we would ever have. Because then you'd have your Republican and then you'd have your Democrat. And I think that'd be the most uniting ticket and the most powerful ticket there ever was.
I don't disagree. You're not wrong about that. That would be the dream. You know, that would be the dream ticket, because you got two people that it would be the most uniting. There's no question about that. Mm-hmm. If it could happen, and there's, you know, there's, I mean, Trump kind of spoke about his respect and of RFK, and RFK won't say anything bad about anybody. I love his approach to his campaign. I mean, I'd probably vote for him. I don't think I've ever voted for a Democrat, but you know, I don't consider myself much of a Republican. I'm not a fan of the Republicans either.
We've found out it's the Uniparty.
It is the Uniparty. That's exactly right.
I'm voting on Who's America First. That's who I want to vote for. And they keep trying to push these non America First people, the establishment, the cabal, whatever you want to call these people, the people that are Luciferian
cabal.
There you go. And so, you know, he even said, RFK, and I'm like looking at his book, he even said that the CIA killed his uncle.
Yeah.
As sitting president.
And I know. I mean, I agree. They need to release all the rest of those documents too. But yeah, I mean, that's my concern. We don't need a third Kennedy assassinated, but that our intelligence agencies have been running this country, you know, for far too long, assassinating a sitting president, and you know, RFK's in harm's way as far as they're concerned, because if he gets in, he'll finish the job that both his father and his uncle tried to undertake. And Kennedy said it, he'll shatter the intelligence agency into 1,000 fragments, because you gotta bust that up.
The two would be so powerful, because then you couldn't stop what they would do. They would literally drain the swamp. Yeah. I would love the two of them. I wish they could, like, I could talk to both of them, be like, hey, listen, let's fix America. You both need to come together and let's get this totally done. Because then I think people would vote for him after Donald Trump finishes out his second term. I think he stands a chance to you know, become president of the United States. I think it'd be a great way to do so. I don't know. Like,
I wish I don't think we have any chance. We do not fix this country if we don't get somebody that's an absolute outsider that will steadfastly, resolutely, and relentlessly drain the swamp, destroy this unelected bureaucracy of, you know, of this deep state bureaucrats that they just, they're running everything. You know, you turn over everybody else, but they stay there just like Fauci for 50 some odd years, you know, just creating a little empire that does, you know, everything, tells the elected short timers just enough, you know, tells them what they want to hear, but they, you know, they march along to their own tune, their own agenda. That's got to be, that system has got to be destroyed, or we're going to continue harming our children. We're going to continue harming our population. We're going to, you know, the CIA has just become a front for endless wars on foreign land, just burning up our young people, our blood and treasure, and foreign wars for, you know, minerals and resources that their, you know, their children won't fight for. So I'm tired of that. You know, Eisenhower warned us about that. This military industrial complex is running the world, and they're running rampant. We need somebody to get in and literally burn that stuff to the ground.
Throughout America's adventure in free government, our basic purposes have been to keep the peace, to foster progress in human achievement, and to enhance liberty, dignity, and integrity among peoples and among nations. To strive for less would be unworthy of a free and religious people. Any failure traceable to arrogance or our lack of comprehension or readiness to sacrifice would inflict upon us grievous hurt, both at home and abroad. Progress toward these noble goals is persistently threatened by the conflict now engulfing the world. It commands our whole attention, absorbs our very beings. We face a hostile ideology, global in scope, atheistic in character, ruthless in purpose, and insidious in method. Unhappily, the danger it poses promises to be of indefinite duration. To meet it successfully, there is call for not so much the emotional and transitory sacrifices of crisis, but rather those which enable us to carry forward steadily, surely, and without complaint, the burdens of a prolonged and complex struggle with liberty the stake. But threats, new in kind or degree, constantly arise. Of these I mention two only. A vital element in keeping the peace is our military establishment. Our arms must be mighty, ready for instant action, so that no potential aggressor may be tempted to risk his own destruction. Our military organization today bears little relation to that known of any of my predecessors in peacetime, or indeed by the fighting men of World War II or Korea. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. We annually spend on military security alone more than the net income of all United States corporations. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development. Yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
Are you looking for a doctor you can trust? Then look no farther than Dr. Meehan, and you can find him at MeehanMD.com. That's M-E-E-H-A-N as in Nancy, MD.com, for all your health care, supplemental, and telemed needs. And you know what my family did? We shopped at his supplemental store, and we purchased these two items to help support our gut health. These are supporting our gut health, because you know what? The gut health is so important. Our immune system is in the gut. Our serotonin's made in the gut. And so the most Americans, if you know, have a leaky gut. So if you're looking to improve your health, whether you're improving your gut health or your immune system, or you just have something that you need to talk to a physician about, go to MeehanMD.com. That's M-E-E-H-A-N as in Nancy, MD.com. And while you're there, make sure you use the promo code AMBER so you can save some money. And while you're at the website, make sure you set up your telemed appointment and then check out all his supplements that he offers as well. That's MeehanMD.com. Use promo code AMBER at checkout. Are you getting tired of woke companies trying to destroy our country and strip off us all of our freedoms? Big Mobile is no exception. In fact, we should be calling them Woke Mobile. Did you know that Big Mobile gives tens of millions of dollars each year to organizations that are trying to take away the very freedoms that you and I are working so hard to defend? It's time to do something about it. So here's the good news. Do you have a choice in the matter, and is there an alternative? Well, Patriot Mobile is the America's only Christian conservative wireless provider who shares your values. They offer the very best in nationwide coverage on 4G and 5G LTE networks and an exceptional 100% base customer support. So Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every dollar they earn to conservative organizations that fight for our freedoms. They support organizations like First Liberty, Turning Point USA, Susan B. Anthony List, the NRA, Folds of Honor, Students for Life of America, and many more. And this year, they're going to give more than $1.5 million to conservative causes. And with your help, they aim to double that next year. So the time is now. Our votes are no longer enough. We must stand together and support other like-minded companies and share our beliefs and values. Your cell phone is one way we can stand together against the fight of the left and help make America great again. So Patriot Mobile offers discounts for veterans and first responders, NRA members, and families with multiple lines. So if you want to learn more, go to patriotmobile.com/amber. That's patriotmobile.com/amber and use promo code AMBER at checkout. You are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
We are trapped in this.
Because you're right, Eisenhower did say that. And I
was a real student, you know, at West Point, and I visited the Eisenhower Museum. It's a presidential museum, or library rather. It's in Kansas. My son was considering going to West Point, my oldest son, and so he interviewed at the Eisenhower Library, and there's a video of that entire speech. But everybody should look at that entire speech, because not only does he talk about the military-industrial complex, but he talks about this atheistic, technocratic, scientific elite. That's the other warning of the, you know, of the risk that America was facing, that he was seeing even at that time. And that's exactly what we've got. We've got the combination, this military industrial complex and this atheistic, scientific elite, the technocrats, the scientists that believe that, you know, it's about scientific consensus instead of scientific process debate and otherwise. They're the ones that are, you know, engaged in the censorship and the silencing, you know, the Peter Hoteses, Dr. Peter Hotez, you know, vaccinologist that he, you know, Robert F. Kennedy challenging Joe Rogan, you know, challenging him, Peter Hotez, to debate RFK on his recent appearance and the claims that he was making. And Hotez just runs like a scared little, you know, kitten. That's what they always do. It's they won't debate. They're just going to get in their little cabal, agree on whatever the consensus is, and then refuse to have any other debate. You know, claiming, well, I'm not gonna debate RFK. I'm not gonna give him that platform. Are you kidding me? RFK's got a platform. You've got nothing.
Right.
You're just a little parrot for the machine. And you would get destroyed by somebody like RFK. I loved watching him. You know, I was watching the News Nation town hall with RFK and that Maria Vargas, I think her name is. He made the claim, very important claim that people need to understand. Childhood vaccines, none of the childhood vaccines have been tested. You know, none of the preclinical trials did they evaluate a true placebo. You know, everybody should read Turtles All the Way Down. Do your own research. They go through Turtles All the Way Down. Great book, by the way. In fact, I have it on my desk. This book is something everybody should read. It's got the receipts, but it really details how we have built the entire childhood vaccine program it's the old adage of, well, the world is held up by a elephant that's standing on the back of a turtle. Okay, well, this turtle standing on? Well, it's standing on another turtle. Well, what's that turtle standing on? Another turtle. Well, so it's turtles all the way down, you know, to describe some people's belief in what the, you know, the origin of life and man in the world. But in vaccines, it's, you know, that the turtles all the way down, there is no placebo any place in that. It's a religion that they believe these vaccines work, but they never did the safety studies that have the true placebo controls. Instead, they're testing against another vaccine, or they're testing against an active placebo like Gardasil, where everything that's in Gardasil is in the active placebo. The only thing that's not in that, that was not injected into the control group, was the HPV antigens. So, you know, and there's a toxic level, about 425 micrograms of aluminum adjuvant in the Gardasil vaccine.
Oh, geez.
So the control group got, you know, polysorbate 80 opens up the brain barrier, 425 micrograms of aluminum adjuvant, which is neurotoxic.
Right.
And, you know, and so you want to mask the problem. You want to create a fake SIBO, you know, control group that is not going to show and demonstrate the harms of all those ingredients. That's how you do it. You mask the deaths and injuries by giving your control group essentially the same toxic ingredients that's in the Gardasil vaccine. That was, you know, Mary Holland's book, the HB vaccine on trial, is something that, you know, every person should read to see how corrupt that Gardasil vaccine trial was. But the point is, they're doing everything they possibly can to not disclose the evidence. They don't want to know. They built a huge profitable empire on the concept of vaccination. In fact, we've destroyed immunity in this country in particular, because not only do the vaccines not work against many of the, you know, wear off, you know, the measles outbreak at Disneyland, you know, 50% of that was people that were vaccinated, 30 some odd percent were infected with the vaccine virus. That live virus of the measles virus that was what they were shedding. So they were shedding and infecting other people with live. Those live virus vaccines can go from attenuation to active, spreadable, sheddable live viruses.
And it happens all the time. Remember what we learned about the COVID vaccine, that it made you transmissible because you didn't know necessarily you were sick because it reduced your symptoms. So you go around town and you're spreading it everywhere, even though they had told you it doesn't, you can't transmit it and you can't get it. And then they kept going back and forth. Well, okay, you can get it. You're just not going to get as much of it. Well, you couldn't give it the virus before. James. Well, now you can give it.
Yeah.
What is it? Is it yes or is it no? Can you give it? Can you not? So we found out that yes, you can transmit it. It just lowers your symptom rate, so you don't realize you're a carrier. And I think that's true for many vaccines. And you know, the argument that you always get with vaccines, well, vaccines eradicated polio. It was my understanding that the polio vaccine that we have, and maybe you're the one who educated me on this, I don't remember, yeah, is in the intestines. And then if you don't have that type of polio, then that vaccine's not going to do anything for you.
Yeah. Well, first, the polio story is a very complicated one. Dissolving Illusions by Suzanne Humphreys is an excellent book to read on that, on the topic of, you know, what were we really diagnosing? First and foremost, I think most of the cases of polio were caused by lead arsenic and DDT. Ooh. So lead arsenic, kind of herbicide, early herbicide that was being sprayed on apples, and will cause some of the lead poisoning. It basically causes lead poisoning, which will have some of the appearance, some of the same kind of symptoms as you would see with what we are, you know, what considered polio. The other one was DDT, and you know, both of these were prolific, and lead arsenic kind of went away as DDT was coming on hard. And, you know, they were spraying DDT in clouds right in neighborhoods. And there are, you know, videos of children playing in the street as they were spraying this DDT, and they're dancing in the fog. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you know, so there is a lot of these cases were probably complicated by lead arsenic, DDT, causing some of the symptoms that we were attributing to polio. And then you have, you know, some people would say that you should know that one of the first vaccines that was released, I think it was the Salk vaccine. You got to look up the Cutter incident related to the initial releases of the polio vaccine. This was a vaccine that killed thousands of young people. I think there was in the study, there were like 40,000 children that were tested. Mm-hmm. There was a contamination of the vaccine. Mm-hmm. The lots of disease created by that early release of the vaccine. Then the other thing about the polio vaccine is really problematic. Everybody from like 19, most of the baby boomers that got the polio vaccine prior to 1965 got a polio virus that was a vaccine that was contaminated with simian virus 40, SV40. So it was a byproduct of how they were using, I think, green monkey kidney cells as a part of how they were growing the polio virus. And but still today, we don't have any better capability. There are contaminants, sometimes unidentified, unknown viruses that sneak their way into the vaccine, as SV40 did through the polio vaccine, because we don't have a way of recognizing and purifying and preventing those viruses from, you know, from contaminating our vaccines. But the SV40, millions of people probably got that polio vaccine, got the SV40 virus contaminating their vaccine and in their bodies, causing solid tumors of various kinds. Mm. And I had a radio partner, you know, friend of mine, die some years ago from a glioblastoma multiforming, multiple tumors in his brain. And we were trying very hard to get a pathology, get an autopsy that would characterize those glioblastoma brain tumors to see if they had SV40 in them. Because many, if you look for it, you often find it in that baby boomer generation dying of cancer.
Speaking of brain cancer, it makes me so sad because there's a lot of children that have died. I know a family whose child died from a brain tumor diagnosed, I think at 4, and the kid died at 6 or something like that. He was diagnosed at 5. I know the child died at 6.
Yeah.
And I think it was only a matter of 2 years that they tried everything. And I have to go back and wonder, I'm like, was that vaccine related? Was that a vaccine injury?
Sure. Well,
would a 6-year-old have cancer? I don't know. But all I do know is we just started the show with the COVID-19 creating cancers. And what we do know based on the inserts, the package inserts, they don't test to see if any of these vaccines cause
cancer. Exactly right. Yeah. Mutagenicity and carcinogenic. Those were not tested with this. I mean, how can you in the short period of time? Those are decades long. You know, you don't often see those kind of outcomes until many years down the line. But, you know, back to this explosion in pediatric illness that we're seeing in the, you know, specifically in the American population, one of the most vaccinated populations on the planet. There's many of these chronic diseases that children today are suffering from that, you know, we never did the safety studies to determine and didn't have the surveillance capabilities, surveillance systems in place to be able to, number one, you got to do the randomized controlled safety studies using a placebo and a control group that you follow long term, because if you lose the control group, you won't see that 5-year, 2-year, 5-year, 10-year difference in the health outcomes. You know, when you don't do that kind of rigorous science, and instead you take your control group. Remember what Pfizer did with the COVID vaccines. The pharmaceutical industry with these vaccines and drugs, they're always doing one thing very quickly. They're eliminating the control group. Because when you eliminate the control group, you eliminate your ability to detect the longer term, you know, adverse events that the vaccine or the drug or whatever the intervention might be would induce and would expose. Eliminating the control group is a constant tactic of the pharmaceutical industry and this cabal, this cartel. But it was so interesting how they eliminated that control group. They say, oh yeah, it's effective. You know, it's 95% effective. And we saw how that lie played itself out over time. And they quickly eliminated the control group, because believe it or not, the COVID vaccines, Pfizer and Moderna, were some of the best vaccine studies and trials that have been conducted. You know, most of the childhood vaccines, they're done on like 147 kids, you know, hepatitis B, 147 kids followed for 5 days. They had much higher numbers, you know, several tens of thousands in the COVID vaccines, but again, they eliminated the control group very quickly. And that's just the strategy. You got to see all these strategies that they use. And the big one, you know, kind of circle back around on this major point, is they're not using placebo controls. You know, they're often, well, Pfizer was going to try to use a meningitis vaccine as the control group. You know, they were going to use a meningitis vaccine. It was, you know, it was Aaron Seary. I think RFK was involved in that, Del Bigtree of the High Wire and the Informed Consent Action Network. They were the ones that said, no, you cannot do that. New, you know, novel vaccine, never, no precedent whatsoever, completely new technology. You must use a placebo control. And so they used a saline control group. And so that's, you know, in the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, that's one of the best vaccine trials that we've had. But they still, you know, all kinds of things they lied about. They didn't tell us that 1,233 people died in the first 30 days of rollout of the vaccine. Now that we're starting to get all of these, you know, tens of thousands of pages of information from that preclinical trial, we're starting to see how the fraud was committed. And I am among many that say Pfizer committed fraud. They manipulated the data. They dropped, adverse events and individuals like Matty DeGarry, the 12-year-old that was, you know, paralyzed and to be fed through a feeding tube.
Yep.
They presented her data to the FDA as functional abdominal pain instead of, you know, I mean, she was paralyzed. She's in a wheelchair, has to have a nasogastric tube, a tube that delivers liquid nutrition to her stomach because she was so destroyed and so damaged by the vaccine. And they call that functional abdominal pain. And functional, you know, appended to any other diagnosis means they think it's in your head. And so when the FDA is looking at the data, although the FDA is completely captured, it wouldn't have mattered to them. They should have known better. You know, they'll approve anything for anybody because they're not serving us. They're serving pharma.
If you know, it was propaganda. And attorney Aaron Seary, which you brought up, he came and spoke at the Arizona State Legislature, and his speech is on my website. And I highly encourage you guys to go
phenomenal.
Look at that.
Yeah.
It's theambermayshow.com. Go to the resource tab, go to the childhood vaccines, and you're going to see his testimony that he presented in front of the Arizona State Legislature.
Yeah.
And he showed and demonstrated very well how the FDA, your regulatory agency, the one supposed to look out for you, was nothing but a propaganda arm.
Absolutely.
And he makes a very clear distinction of that. And then he goes into the trials, and he has testimony. He had to question witnesses, experts like such as yourself, like a doctor.
Yeah.
And he asked certain questions, and you got to really see his testimony. It's very good. And the way he presents it, it's not boring. You will be engaged in what he has to say. So I highly recommend it. So it's theambermayshow.com. Go to the resource tab and check out that information there. Because it's just disgusting. And I really attribute some of my infertility issues to being vaccine injured. And I think there's a lot of, and we know now the COVID-19 shot has vaccine injured a lot of people trying to reproduce children or reproduce and have children.
I'm glad you brought that up. Let me say something real quick. Well, I don't want to, you go ahead. I didn't want to take you off.
Go ahead.
Well, I saw today a 17-year-old, young man that was vaccinated who had his, and we're seeing this in our military personnel. I'm following a cohort of, you know, young 20 to 34 year old young men vaccinated in the military. Their testicular function is being shut down. And we're seeing the same thing in women, but you know, 17 year old gets vaccinated. I had an even younger 16 year old vaccinated, had pre-existing hormone levels on them. They're in the 800 or 900 range, now in the 200 range.
And I want you to tell people what that means. I know what that means, but what does the 800 versus 200 mean?
Yeah. So, I mean, it means it's the difference between, you know, being a healthy young man that's going to have, you know, a life of family and children. But when you go from 800, where your brain is working, you're maintaining your muscle mass. I mean, 800 to 200 is like 17 to 80, you know, years of age. It's like you are now, you know, suffering the hormone levels that you might see in a 70 or 80 year old. And so you're now those young men are going to be, they're going to be depressed. They're going to be losing their muscle mass, losing their bone mass, the strength of their bones. They're going to be anxious, irritable. They're going to be, you know, grumpy all the time, tired all the time. It's going to absolutely change them. It's like castrating a young man. And that's what we did with our a huge majority of our military. We castrated our military. Young men that were, you know, twisted steel and sex appeal. You know, I mean, these guys were, you know, able to run 15 miles and, you know, for fun. And now they're struggling just to get through the day. This 29-year-old second lieutenant was telling me the story. He had been injured. He was like, my best soldiers are now, you know, a fraction of what they used to be. We're, you know, our military readiness is dramatically reduced. And that's what we did.
Our safety, folks. That's our safety. And if it's happening to military, imagine, I'm sure it's happening to law enforcement across the country.
Oh, absolutely.
And just the career as it is stressful. And when Dr. Meehan, when you have such an amount of stress and such an amount of adrenaline dumps from being scared to death, but saddling up anyways and facing the bad guy, What does that do to the human body? I imagine that has to affect your hormones.
Oh, yeah, it does. I mean, cortisol, you know, chronic cortisol can negatively affect every system in the body. It blocks many of, you know, too much cortisol will block many of your hormone receptors, diminishing your natural hormone function, you know, drive sugar cravings. So now you become, you know, you're craving sugar all the time, eating comfort foods and, you know, sugary things, because you're trying to get out of that discomfort of the stress. I mean, it's a cascade of things. Chronic elevation of cortisol is just a very dangerous place to be. And cortisol, it's not just, you know, and that's, it's stressors from life and, you know, the difficulty of the pandemic. Many people, cortisol were chronically elevated just from watching, you know, the lies on TV. But it's any kind of stressor. I mean, many of us are suffering high cortisol because our bodies are constantly under attack from, you know, thousands of toxins that are being sprayed on our food, put in our personal care products, you know, electromagnetic fields, all this 5G.
Oh my God, the 5G towers.
That, I mean, that's a stressor. It's a,
yes,
you know, it's an inflaming stressor that is inadequately tested. Saul Kennedy talking about that too. I'm really glad to see people bringing this stuff. You know, they're dropping aluminum nanoparticles to try to manage the weather.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you know the 5G
towers can go through the walls of your house and radiate?
Oh, absolutely.
You?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very high, you know, high bandwidth energy. Yes. It's just, you know, it's such high bandwidth. It's very close to the same kind of energy frequency that's used as a crowd control device by our military and law enforcement. So it's a very powerful, you know, frequency that provides you and I no benefit. That's the truth of the matter. There's no benefit. Has anybody noticed that their download speeds are faster or any of that? No, they're not. I would argue that they're even worse than they used to be. 5G is about the Internet of Things and the Internet of beings. It's about
smart cities, the CBDCs. Yeah,
it's about surveillance, and it's about connecting everything into this network and, you know, hive mind. But it's horrible for our health, causes tissue systemic inflammation, damages tissues. We're going to see, you know, brain cancers and chronic inflammatory diseases continue to rise.
I am so glad you said inflammation, because I was on your website the other day and I saw this box that said inflammation. It's a supplement to help. That's what
desk. Yeah. I mean, I designed that for myself and I just share it with my patients, but that inflammatory support pack is,
I cannot wait to take it. Like,
yeah,
it just got shipped and I'm like, okay, can it be here tomorrow? Could be here tomorrow. So excited. So if you go to MeehanMD.com, make sure when you're there, you go to the promo section, you use my name, Amber, you'll get a discount, but show that inflammation pack again, because I don't have it with me yet.
Yeah,
you need to get your hands on this inflammation pack. Tell us about this pack, because I'm so excited about it.
Yeah. So the real benefit is it's a stack. It's a stack of anti-inflammatory nutrients, vitamin D, curcumin, probiotics. There's a digestive component to it. It really addresses the common causes of inflammation from, you know, multiple factors. And it's, you know, these are all available. You can get these as individual little bottles. You know, you could have five or six of the bottles on your desk. The problem is, for someone like me, my compliance goes down when it takes more than a half of a second to do anything.
Right.
And so, you know, what I do with these now is I every morning I pull off two, put one in my bag, and I take my first one in the morning. And so now I've got this combination of magnesium and vitamin D with K2, probiotics. Let's see, there's the curcumin, and so all in one little gel pack, you've got everything that you need. Compliance goes up because these are best formulations out there on the market. Best, you know, the magnesium is a form of magnesium glycinate, the most bioavailable form that your body needs. And we all need more magnesium. It's involved in about 10,000 critical pathways. But it's about compliance, making it easy so that you're more consistent with doing it and developing that kind of discipline. So that inflammatory pack really, I started developing that during COVID. I mean, we all get more inflammation after COVID. And so we took the science, the evidence-based science that the Frontlines Critical Care Collaboration and others were creating and tried to make it easy for people to take it. And that those little pill packs make it so much easier for people to be consistent with the therapy.
Is it 2 pill packs a day or 1?
You know, it could be 3 depending on your level, but okay. It could be 1 and it could, for me, it's 2. I have more inflammation for so many reasons. I've been beat up my whole life and lots of stress. And I take 2. A lot of my patients take 1, and then I have some that are in acute inflammation. They'll be taking it 3 times a day.
Wow. How does one find out if they're inflamed?
Yeah. So you can feel it, you know, so some of the symptoms of systemic inflammation, if you're having lethargy, you know, brain fog, aching joints and, you know, ligaments and joints, joint pain, that, you know, rashes that develop quickly on your skin, very susceptible to maybe seasonal allergies, you know, the symptoms of runaway excessive inflammation, you know, inflammation is healing when it's, you know, when it's appropriate, it's focused. You know, when you exercise, you break down your muscles, micro tears in the muscle, micro tears in your connective tissue, micro fractures in your bone. And then your inflammatory system, your white blood cells come in and they bolster and reinforce and heal all of that kind of stuff. But chronic inflammation is destructive. It's, you know, it's a smoldering fire that just burns and burns and burns. A lot of that, the reason that we put probiotic and microbiome supporting nutrients in this anti-inflammatory pack is because a lot of inflammation starts in the microbiome. A lot of inflammation starts when you eat a genetically modified food. You eat a plate of nachos made on some GMO corn that, you know, every kernel of corn, every kernel of wheat, every soybean will be contaminated with glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup. And when glyphosate hits the gut microbiome, it's a powerful antibiotic. It's patented. One of its many patents is a patent as for its antibiotic effect. So glyphosate, you know, hits your gut like taking a round of antibiotics, destroys the balance of that important ecosystem, decimating, you know, a lot of the good bacteria. And then the bad bacteria take ground. You know, when you kill off the good guys, there's this, you know, this ecosystem, I say good guys and bad guys, but, you know, it's an ecosystem where you have lots of good little critters, butterflies and worms and rabbits and birds and such. And in a good ecosystem, you also have, you know, bears and wolves, but not many of them. You know, if you kill off one part of the ecosystem, some of the others can take the place, take that ground, fill in. And when Clostridium difficile or even Salmonella and some of the other bacteria that live in our gut, you know, they live there, but they're held in check by the balance of the other good guys. But if you kill off the good guys, some of the bad guys take ground. They like to hold their ground. They'll do that by releasing things like LPS, lipid polysaccharide. It's a molecule that allows them to create biofilms, but it also creates a leaky gut. When your gut starts leaking, it should be an impervious wall that only absorbs those things that it wants to absorb. But when you create cracks in that wall and peptides, you know, the undigested hamburger and peptide and that stuff kind of leaks into the tissue wall, your white blood cell will see those as invaders. They're too big to ignore. You start farming antibodies against it. Maybe that peptide looks just like one in your connective tissue, your articular surfaces. So now your elbows and your knees and your hips hurt. Maybe it's your thyroid, and so you got Hashimoto's thyroiditis, autoimmune thyroiditis. It could be your brain, and you get this brain fog, or it could be, you know, any number of tissues that have a sequence homology to something that your white blood cells created antibodies against. So that, you know, you gotta stabilize and optimize the gut microbiome, or you're gonna be prone to leaky gut and inflammatory and even, you know, autoimmune triggering.
Ooh. Wow. So that, show that one more time, that box. So that might be a really good option for most people listening today.
It's
inflammatory support pack. You get that at MeHan, MeHan, as in Nancy, MD.com. Get that pack. I can't wait till it arrives in my mailbox, and then use promo code Amber at checkout. Dr. Meehan, I always learn a lot. I love our discussions. I always look forward to this month when we get a talk. And I just want to thank you for coming on the show today.
My pleasure, Amber. You keep up the great work, and remind, you know, put a link to that Aaron Siri that, well, you gave everybody, but man, put a link to that. Everybody needs to see that. That is eye-opening, mind-blowing stuff. But thank you for all that you do. God bless you. Stay strong, stay healthy. And you get that inflammatory pack, and you're that much harder to kill because a lot of people are trying to kill you.
You guys take care.
All right. God bless you. Bye-bye.
When you have your holiday, you could get the beloved cheesecakes. They're so delicious. I'm so excited. We have family over. We're going to enjoy this wonderful, delicious cheesecake. And if you use promo code Amber, you could save some money at checkout.
It was so delicious. I was only going to have one piece. But I had her cut it. I had her cut the piece just like the sliver. And I got to have three pieces.
What did you think about the cheesecake?
I loved it. It was really rich and really yummy. I had the chocolate and it was very, very good. And I really appreciate you that we got to eat some. Thank you.
Hey, so when it's the next celebration in your household, or you have company coming over, or you just have a craving for cheesecake, make sure you visit belovedcheesecake.com. Use promo code AmberMay at checkout to save some money. That's belovedcheesecakes.com. Remember, promo code Amber at checkout. So I wanted to introduce you to a company that makes really healthy personal care products, and that is Hero Soap Company. I love Hero Soap Company. This is my favorite scent. It's called The Meadow. It smells amazing. Oh, so nice and clean. You're getting real, this smells so good. You're getting healthy products, because did you know in the personal care products, they put a lot of garbage in there that disrupts the hormones and other things? Well, this is all clean products. You're supporting a company that's American-made product. It's co-owned by a veteran. And what I love about this company is they also support veterans and first responders with purchases of their soaps. So if you go to herosoapcompany.com, use promo code AmberMay at checkout, you're gonna save yourself some money. So we're supporting a patriot-owned, veteran-owned, American-made soap company right here. We're supporting them. You're getting a discount and you're getting healthy, clean products to use on your body at home. So here is soapcompany.com, promo code AmberMay at checkout. In the early 1900s, like 1920s, 30s, with $20, you used to be able to buy an entire men's suit. You could get the handkerchief, the tie, the vest, the jacket, the pants, the belt, everything. And you could also buy that with a piece of gold. Now, in today's standards, you can't buy much with $20, maybe a tie, maybe that's it. You could not even come close to an entire men's suit with a $20 bill. However, if you still had a piece of gold, you could still buy an entire men's suit with that piece of gold. See, silver and gold have intrinsic value, and it's had intrinsic value since the beginning of time. It's always been a currency around since the existence of man, gold and silver. So why not protect your investments and protect your earning power by owning some gold and silver? And the easiest way to do that is contacting Jim Tewell at EPSWealthManagement.com. That's Edward Paul Sam, WealthManagement.com, EPSWealthManagement.com. Give him a call and let him know you'd like to have some tangible assets in your portfolio. You'd like to have some gold and silver, and he can help you do that. So if you're ready to protect yourself and protect your investments, then go ahead and give Jim Tewell a call, whom you've seen on our program at EPSWealthManagement.com. Let him know Amber May sent you. Thank you for joining us today on The Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at The Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Socially Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on The Amber May Show.